Today on the Profitable Tradie podcast.
Running a business by memory is asking to fail.
You're training someone new and it just feels like Groundhog Day. Same headaches, same dumb questions.
That's exhausting.
You got staff that constantly interrupt you for basic stuff. You got mistakes and rework that's costing you time and money.
You're just going to get burnt out if you don't do this.
You basically just never feel like you can truly take a break without the place catching fire.
Now here's the truth. Your business doesn't need more of you or even better employees. It needs your brain on paper. We talk about McDonald's a lot, but that's why 16-year-olds can run it and they can't even tidy their rooms up because it's all documented. You know, you think, oh, that's easy for a McDonald's, but it wasn't easy when they started that.
There's nothing more painful in life than trying to write a manual.
Don't do that. Now tune into this episode where we discuss the importance of systems and how you can create strong, standard operating procedures that will transform the productivity and efficiency of your business.
If you've got those four steps in place, your system's going to work. If you're missing one of those steps, then...
You're listening to the Profitable Tradie podcast, where every week we help you make more money, get your time back, and make life and business a whole lot more fun. Join us as we transform your plumbing, electrical, or similar service business into a successful operation. Don't miss a beat. Hit the follow button. Let's get started.
Alrighty, welcome to the podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones here, your host, with my good mate, Phil Smith.
G'day, mate.
You going well there, buddy?
Always good.
Yep. You're a bit struggling today, are you?
Oh, a little bit under the weather, but she'd be right, mate. She'd be right.
You're still...
winners push through. You know how it is.
That's right. You're still worth two million, eh?
Oh, maybe even three.
Yeah. Happy days. So what are we getting into?
Well, we're talking about how most tradies run their business from inside their own head. And basically what that means is, you know, you got staff that constantly interrupt you for basic stuff. You got mistakes and rework that's costing you time and money. You know, you're training someone new and it just feels like Groundhog Day. Same headaches, same dumb questions. And you basically just never feel like you can truly take a break without the place catching fire. So if this is sounding familiar, your issue probably isn't lazy staff. It's undocumented processes. So we're going to be looking to fix our systems first.
The thing here is you've got employees. We know that can be frustrating. We know that they don't do what they should all the time. But the problem is it's very easy to blame them and kind of use them as a scapegoat. But they may not always be the issue, as you said. It could be the fact that they're not clear on what they need to do, how it needs to be done, and that is a systems issue. And, you know, we talk about McDonald's a lot, but that's why 16-year-olds can run it and they can't even tidy their rooms up because it's all documented.
Yeah.
And... you know, you think, oh, well, that's easy for a McDonald's, but it wasn't easy when they started that. You know, nobody ever thought you could prepare hamburgers at, you know, scale fast by systems. They just thought it was, you know, not like that, but it is. And so the same can apply to our businesses. So I think what we're really going to dig into is understanding, you know, the power of the system, which is important, and then how we can actually put them in place. And the fact that you're better to look at fixing the system. And once you've got the system right, then you can figure out if the employees are doing it right. It's probably the best way to go because if you don't have a good system, they're maybe not set up for success.
Yeah.
And you might get rid of the employee and you'll just get the same problem over and over again.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I'm sure you have a great story to kick us off.
I do have a good story. I just like the story. I'm not sure if it's entirely relevant, but
I'm sure it will be.
I'm not really caring that much because I just want to share it. It just buzzed me out.
It's never stopped you before.
That's right. You know, relevance is a kind of whatever. Back in the 80s, there was a small regional airport in the US, and it was constantly getting complaints from the passengers. So they were really frustrated about the amount of time that it took for their baggage to get to the carousel, you know, after they got off the plane. So people were, you know, complaining, and it was taking sort of 15 to 20 minutes for the bags to arrive after landing. So what did the airport do? Well, first off, they looked at the, you know, the baggage handlers and the staff. They're like, well, are they lazy? Are they messing around? Do they need more training? Should we fire them? And they looked at all of that. But in the end, they figured out that actually they were working pretty fast. The real breakthrough was not blaming them, but it was actually looking at their system. The airport realized that the planes were parking so close to the terminal that the passengers could get to the carousel in like 2 to 5 minutes. But the bags were taking 15 to 20 minutes because there was, you know, just takes what it takes to get them out.
Yep.
So what did they do? Well, very clever change in system. They just moved the gates. So they made the passengers walk further. Well, pretty clever, right?
So that's what's going on when I get to the airport.
That's right. They're just making you walk around corridors and circles so that they can get the bags out on time. So now the passengers were taking 8 to 10 minutes to walk. They're only waiting for 5 to 10 minutes. No problem. They were really happy. No more complaints. They didn't worry about that. The people weren't the problem. I guess the process was the problem there, and they changed it up for a better result. So next time you're wandering around an airport, all the travelators and all that sort of stuff, they're just making you take some time to get to the carousel so they look good.
Yeah, well, fair enough. I mean, I suppose you tweak the system and you get the result, right?
That's right.
Which is, I actually do think that lined up pretty well, Tony. It's not a bad story.
That,
yeah, worked out. So, hey, look, if we're not documenting our processes and you're actually making these systems, getting things out of our head, we definitely run into some problems, right?
Massive problems. So, you know, you're going to have major dependence on yourself or the key team members in your business. So, if you've got a smaller business or if you've got a larger business with some key people, then you and them become the bottleneck. So everything's got to revolve around you. You've got to be across everything, make sure everything's done properly, and obviously that's slow. So that's a big problem. Your business can't grow past that bottleneck because basically you'll miss stuff and things will start to go wrong. So I think that's a big thing, the dependence on key people. Training is slow and painful. So if you've got to be, or the key people have got to be the one who tells everyone what's going on because it's in your head, then it's very difficult to train people. It's going to take up a lot of your time. You're not going to have a lot of that time, so they're not going to get enough time to train. And, you know, your apprentices or new people are going to take a lot longer to become productive, which is an issue. Next thing is you're going to get inconsistent quality because people aren't clear on the process, and so they'll do it one way one time, another way the other time. And that's why McDonald's is so, you know, it's the same rubbish hamburger wherever you go in the world, but it's because they do the same thing the way through the process, right from how it's grown to how it's delivered to how it's stored, prepared, cooked, and packaged up. It's the same every time, so you know what you're getting. So that's a problem, and that inconsistency is going to lead to complaints, frustrations, you know, that's going to damage your margin, all that sort of stuff that comes from the job not being done properly. And then from a point of view of actually growing your business, it's very hard to scale a business. And when we say scale, that means grow it. You can't grow beyond your current team because no one knows the right way to do things. There's no ability to leverage the knowledge that you have. It's kind of, you're just bottleneck. You can't grow past your sphere of control. But systems allow your sphere of control to grow. So that's important. And honestly, you're just going to get burnt out if you don't do this as well, because you are the fount of all knowledge of all things, that it's all got to come, all the questions come to you, all the issues, all the solutions, etc. And
the training.
That's exhausting.
Way too much.
That is just so exhausting. So we don't want that. And, you know, you set up a business to enjoy it. Well, you should. Obviously, to make money, that's important. To enjoy it, to have fun. And if you're not having fun because you're just everything, then doesn't matter how big your shoulders are, eventually your legs will crumble from the weight.
Yeah, definitely. And ultimately, you know, we're setting up business to provide freedom, right? You know, we want money, we want time, we want enjoyment, we want freedom. And without those systems, you'll never be free because you're always tied to the troubleshooting, the training, and fixing of problems. So it's just not ideal. And so on the other hand, though, if we do get documented systems, we can get the stuff out of our head, you know, pretty big upsides.
Yeah, and we look for the system solution first rather than, you know, what the team are doing wrong. Like you said, it's freedom. So you're freed up from the day-to-day operations. So the business can run without you being across every detail because your knowledge is out of your head. It's on paper or in a system or online. So that's important. Consistency and quality control, because you've got a system that people follow. So a consistent outcome requires consistent inputs and consistent process, and that's, you know, what a system does. Faster training for your team because everything's, they can see it. You know, it might be videos, scripts, examples, whatever it is, it's there for them to use. You can scale because you've got a template, a system for how your business runs. All the systems put together is that's our operating system, if you like. So that's important. And confidence. So you can feel confident that things are going to be handled without you having to do everything, without you having to be across everything. So your stress levels go down, your enjoyment goes up, the team's enjoyment goes up too, because they kind of got some responsibility in their hands, you know, rather than having to ask you all the time where things are at. So it's very, very important that we get this right.
Yeah, massively. And so, you know, let's jump into this. And I think probably a good place to start. What is a system, just for anyone who's unclear?
Well, a system is something that's written down. It's out of your head. I mean, everyone has systems, obviously, to start with. You've got systems. You have the ways you do things, but they're not really a system because they're often stuck in your head. So how do you write it down so someone else can see it? And it could be any number of things. It could be a flowchart, you know, the steps in a process that you go through for pricing, or the steps in the process you go for setting up a job, or the steps in the process you go for invoicing at work, or following up non-payment, or your marketing process, whatever it is. It could be a template. So you think of pricing, you've created an as-built template, which, you know, maybe for plumbing out a house, maybe doing the underfloor. This is the template. This is all the things that need to happen in it. Here's suggested quantities, and you can just, you know, change those as you go. Everything's there. Might be a checklist. For example, quality assurance. What are all the things you need to check off when that underfloor is done, for example? Or what's all the things that need to be checked off when you hand a job over? And people can physically check them off so you don't miss anything. Could be a script. So that might be, hey, this is how you talk to people when they ring up and make an inquiry. This is the words you say. These are the questions you ask. Could be a script for when you follow up for someone that you've sent a quote or a bid to. This is the questions you ask. You go through it so that you've got a set way of doing it. You can train people on that. You can assess their performance against that. And even more importantly, if you want to make changes, you've got a benchmark against which you can make changes to see whether it improves or not. That's a key thing. So that's really what systems are. Getting it out of your head on paper so other people can see it. And there's a number of ways those systems might look.
Yeah, 100%. And I think when you're starting to have problems with your team, it's really easy to get frustrated with them and think, man, I've trained them once 1,000 times. Why don't they know what to do? You know, why are they making all these mistakes? But I think the first thing we want to look at is the system, not the team member. So first question I'd ask myself when I'm having an issue or someone hasn't done something right is, firstly, do we have a system for that? Because if we don't, then we're really relying on the memory of that person. And this gets really problematic, especially when you have new people to the team. And we can get frustrated and think, hey, I've told this person, you know, once, twice, even 3 times. But, you know, if we think about the process of building a habit, a lot of people listening probably have kids. And if you think about having kids, like, I'm sure that you still have to remind them every night to brush their teeth or at least hurry them up to brush their teeth. Whereas nowadays, I'm sure you brush your teeth every night without having to be prompted. Basically, you built the habit. So, I mean, right off the bat, you can explain to your kids, hey, you know, need to brush your teeth or they'll fall out of your head. They get a little bit of fear there and they might brush their teeth for a couple of days, but you're going to have to start reminding, and you know, you might show them how to brush their teeth, but you're going to have to show them again and again until they perfect that process. And so it's the same when you're training team members or getting them to do something. As you might have told them, you might have told them twice, you might have told them 3 times. It's actually still quite possible that they forget, or that they forget how, or that they forget a step, or that they kind of remember, but they're second guessing themselves and thinking, geez, like, is this right? I can't really remember. Like, I'm pretty sure it's this, but then they call you up and they're double checking, or they call the ops manager and basically just don't have their confidence. So, you know, firstly, is there a system that they can follow? Because if not, then they're going to have to either blindly budge ahead or make a call. Secondly, is did they use a system? Let's say there's a system and they've made a mistake, but they didn't use the system. Well, then you have an accountability problem. You know, you got to hold them to actually compliance with the system. But on the other hand, if they did use the system and still didn't get the result that you want, well, maybe the system is wrong. So maybe you've created a checklist, but the thing that they missed is not on the checklist, in which case the system is the issue and not the person. So always look to the system first. And I think with this, like, clarity is critical. So we have a 4-step process for clarity here around systems. Number one is there a clear success criteria? So do they know what good looks like? Do they know what's expected of them? And you know, not just in terms of tasks, but in terms of what a good result would look like. And if they don't, then it's actually very hard for them to get it right. Because firstly, they might not know what they're doing. And secondly, you know, they don't actually know what's good. So they might be like, I did it, but who knows if it was good. Second one is clear process. So again, that's how to do the task. So, you know, clear success is I know what it is and whether, you know, what good looks like. Second one is process. So I know how to do it. It's laid out for me step by step. Third one is clear accountability. So in this case, again, a system's only as good as whether or not people use it. So they need accountability measures like KPIs and things, which are going to help you to, you know, check whether the system was used and hold them accountable to that. And the fourth one is clear feedback loop. So in this case, you know, you're reviewing things with them. So if they did a task, they use a system, are you reviewing that? Are you catching up with them, speaking to them, you know, and training them when they haven't got something right, you know, helping them tweak a checklist, helping them understand it better. You know, and basically, making sure that success criteria is clear, the process is clear, the accountability is clear. It's that feedback loop around the whole thing. So if you've got those 4 steps in place, success criteria, clear process, clear accountability, clear feedback, your system's going to work. Whereas if you're missing one of those steps, then unfortunately your system is kind of up to chance, and that's not where we want to be.
So. Yeah. Something that strikes me is that running a business by memory is asking to fail.
Oh, yeah.
And systems are about taking it out of memory, out of yours and out of your employees' memory, and getting it out there, you know, so it's something objective in front of everyone. And in that way, the system really creates leverage. What do we mean by leverage? Well, it multiplies your brain and your skills, because it is very hard for people to actually see what's going on inside your head. Mm. And if they have to ask all the time, they are limited by the time you have and the time they have. Mm. But if you get that out on paper, then the ability to view that is multiplied massively. It's in more places at once. That's basically what systems are about, which is how it multiplies your brain and your effort. So that's important. And then what it does, it enables you to make excellence repeatable. A system makes your excellence standards repeatable by people in your team. And as you said, it provides accountability. You can assess the work against the system. And I like to think of like computer code as being really helpful here. Like computer code is the ultimate way to leverage a system. If you think of your accounting software, any software, say your accounting software, well, back in the day, they used to use an abacus to do it. And then they got ledgers. And your accountant would do it, or your bookkeeper, and they'd keep a paper thing. Then they'd do it, use a spreadsheet. Well, now, there's code that you can just put it in. It'll suck your invoices in and your bank statements, put all your financials together. And it's just done by computer code. That's like an ultimate form of leverage. We may not be able to leverage, with code everything in our business, but we can to a large extent, so that every employee knows, this is how we plumb out this house. This is how we wire this house. This is how we build this deck, whatever it is. This is how we send the invoice. This is how we price the work. That can all be put out, on paper, in a system, on a video, so that other people can follow it. And that's how we create massive leverage of your time and allow your business to scale. That's the juice here. And as you said, we want to make sure that when things are not going right performance-wise, we fix the system first. Because if we just complain about the team and fix them, we can keep recycling the team through. But there's a problem with the system, we'll get the same result until we get the system right.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got to get that right. So should we talk about, basically the fact here is that if you get those systems in place, there's another big benefit, which is that you can ultimately build enterprise value in your business.
So
you
love that phrase, enterprise value.
Basically, you can make your business more valuable. So if we think about, the value of a business, we've got, your future maintainable earnings times by a multiple. And if we think about that, it's basically, how profitable you are times by a multiple. And that multiple is made up of a bunch of things. But one of the key parts of that multiple is how reliant the business is on the owner. So if you have no systems, then the business is very reliant on you. And so not only is it difficult for you to run, but it'll be difficult for you to sell at a good value, or even just to have good value in your business. Because basically this is just a job. And if we take you out of it, then the business falls apart. Whereas if you've got a really well systemized business where everything's out of your head, it's able to be followed, everybody's using these systems, and therefore you're not relied on so much, well then that creates massive value in your business. Because if someone else was looking to buy or buy in or whatever, basically what they're buying is they're buying a turnkey operation where whether you're there or not, the business is still going to produce those same results, if not better, which means that there's heaps of value for me because I don't have to step in and be you, and I don't need you to stay on to retain the value. It just is there. And so this is, it's a very, very important thing. And whether you're looking at selling your business or whether you're looking at keeping it, it doesn't really matter, because if we're building a great business to sell, something that would be super, super valuable, the byproduct is it becomes an amazing business to own, because something which would be a great business to sell is something which is really profitable, so your future maintainable earnings are strong, times by a good multiple, which means that you've got good, strong client base, you've got really well systemized business, it's not reliant on the owner, these kinds of things. In which case it's like, well, this is awesome to own too, because it's profitable, it's repeatable, it doesn't rely on me. I mean, like, this is great. So in this case, we really want to be building that enterprise value regardless of what the end result is, because either way you win. And systems really is the key to making that more valuable and better to own.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess the thing is, you're thinking, okay, that sounds great, but it sounds like a lot of work. And well, newsflash, it is work, but anything worthwhile doing and having is work. So how do you actually do this in a way that's it's as easy as possible, despite the fact that it does take effort? And I think the place to start is understanding that you already have processes in your business. There are already ways that you do work, even if they're not written down. You'll have a thought in your mind of this is the steps we follow. So all you have to do is actually start writing them down.
Well, we get this all the time with sales, right? We go guys that we work with, and they say, oh, I can't understand the concept of having a script for our sales process, for example, because I've never used a script and it's great. But then you talk to them a bit more and you realize it's like, hey, every time you go and make a sale, you say pretty much the same thing. And they're like, well, yeah. And you're like, okay, cool. Well, you do follow a script, then it just lives in your head and no one else can follow it. And they're like, I guess so. You're like, cool. Well, if you just actually got all that down on paper, do you realize it's like you're going to say all that anyway, but now someone else can say it too? So it's kind of the same thing. People say, oh, there's no real system. I just know how to, you know, double check everything at the end of a job and make sure that the quality's there and I haven't missed anything. And it's like, cool, how do you know? What do you check? You write down all the things they check, and it's like, cool, well, that's your quality assurance checklist. Like, that system was half there in your head. It's just not a system until it's written down, kept somewhere that's easily accessed, and now it's able to be followed by other people. Now it's a real system. But the bones of that were probably in your head the whole time.
They are. So you have a mental model that you're running to follow the processes in your business. And even if that system is not perfect, that's fine. It's better than having nothing if you write it down, because it's going to be probably 75-80% good to start with. And that's going to make your team 75-80% better than they were already. So that's all upside when you get that done.
Maybe just before we crack on as well, I just do want to make the point that one common flaw I see a lot when we're working with our clients is they set out on this journey of systems. And right from the bat, they're like, hey, I'm going to systemize my whole business this week. And I'm like,
good luck.
Firstly, no. Secondly, just understand that the concept of I'm going to systemize my whole business is kind of flawed, just insofar as it's like, you will never finish this process ever, because you will continue. I mean, we'll talk about this soon, but you're going to continue to tweak these systems forever anyway and create new systems. Like, more the point of this is just to understand that just start the journey. And, you know, one day you'll get to a point, like probably not that far from here, you'll get to a point where all of the main stuff is pretty systemized, it's working well, and you'll keep chipping away on other things, but you'll always find a new things to systemize. Like, for example, we have a system of exactly where to put the bins out in our office. And it's literally a video of me carrying the bins downstairs and putting them on the side of the road and being like, this is where you put it. Which seems kind of silly. Obviously, you wouldn't start with that, but you know, once you've got all the main stuff done, you can crack on. My point is please don't set out from the get-go trying to systemize your whole business. It's a fool's errand. You'll get pretty close over time, but you know, the idea with this is that this is gonna carry on forever, and you're gonna keep working on better and new systems all the time. It's just start the journey is really the place you need to have in your head.
I think it's a good actually place to jump in is the 80-20 rule applies here. There'll be 20% of the things you do in your business that give you 80% of the problems. And so some of the common areas where systems fall down is in your pricing.
Yep.
In your job setup and handover.
Yep.
In your quality assurance processes on site.
Yep.
In your collection processes.
Yep. Yep.
And in sales processes.
Yeah.
And so they're like five areas. You choose the one that's giving you the most problem, and you get that one sorted first. And all of a sudden, you've created more time, more clarity in your business, better performance. And all of a sudden, you've got more time to actually work on other systems. And it's like a compounding return. You get that one sorted, it's a bit easier to get the next one sorted. Get that one sorted, it's even easier to get the next one, and so on and so on and so on.
Yeah.
And like you said, you'll never get it 100% finished. That's fine. In fact, you don't actually need to systemize absolutely everything, because some things are so one-off or perhaps not that important that it's just it's not a good return on investment. But get the 20% that do make all the difference. Get that done. It will change your life, and you just work from top to bottom. What's the biggest red light down to the things that aren't quite so damaging to not get right. So very important point.
Yeah, 100%. All right, well, should we talk about like actually creating the system? So we know we've got stuff that we do in our head. We know we're going to start with, you know, the main stuff that's important. We know we need to get it down on paper. So what do we do first as far as getting things down on paper?
The first point is to just flowchart the steps in the process that you're following. And so if it's pricing, you just flowchart all the steps. It might be, get the tender documents. It might be send the 10 documents to your suppliers to get the feedback. It might be estimate the hours. You just step through all the bits. For example, with your invoice for collecting money, it might be send the invoice, send the follow-up phone call, make the follow-up phone call the day before the invoice is due, call if it's not paid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you just step the process out, and that's just like a series of boxes across a page. It doesn't have to be perfect either. So you just flowchart that process, and then for each one of those boxes, you take that box and literally you unpack what needs to be done in that box. And so there's only a few things you need to do in each box. One will be create a checklist. Two will be create a script or what needs to be said. Three, a template. Four, maybe it's a video you create on how to do something.
Yeah, well, actually on that note, one thing I would say is this is another like sort of pitfall I see people fall into, right, is that they set out to create these checklists. And, you know, we often say, you know, get everything down on paper, get it on paper, get it on paper. Just to be clear, what we mean is get it out of your head.
Yeah.
And some stuff doesn't live on paper. Like, there's nothing more painful in life than trying to write a manual. Like, honestly, yeah. it's tough.
Don't do that.
Please don't set out to do that. The next thing is that when you're describing stuff in a manual, a lot of the time, if it's a process that's on the computer, for example, what you're going to end up doing is having to write out almost a paragraph describing where the button is on the page. Like, find the button that looks like a little envelope that sits underneath the button that looks like an arrow that's up in the top right-hand corner of the screen. I mean, like, man, you're writing, like, sentences and sentences just describing where something is, only to say click it, right? And then you end up putting in little screenshots and stuff. Like, this thing is a mammoth thing to take on. Not to mention, then, the next thing is that you end up with a three-ring binder full of, you know, 20,000 pages worth of text. Guess what? No one wants to read that. So it becomes very, very difficult. Whereas on the other hand, if you had a video of this, it's not only heaps easier to make, it's heaps easier to consume. And so, you know, if you're getting something down on paper, what I would say instead is, you know, if this is difficult, get it on, you know, like a checklist might be easy because it's bullet points on a page, but, and you need them to actually physically tick it. Whereas on the other hand, if you can make a video of something, it's a lot easier. You just document yourself doing it. So computer-based tasks, you can use, you know, software like Loom, L-O-O-M. Loom basically will record what you're doing on the screen in like a screen capture, along with your voice while you talk. So you can be explaining what you're doing while you do it. It records the whole process and spits a video out at the end that other people can follow, which is basically like you having sat next to them while they do it. So the next person is going to replicate that task and have your video up, you know, on one monitor, have the task up that they're actually doing on the other monitor, and just follow along with what you're doing. And it's almost like you're sitting next to them, coaching them constantly, and they can go back to it. So this is really helpful. Now, if it's not a computer-based task, guess what? You probably have a smartphone, and that smartphone probably has video recording capacity. And so, again, you can film yourself doing something. So on-site tasks, you know, if you ever find yourself going to site, troubleshooting an issue for one of your team, and you were going to show them how to do something, it's like, so get them to hold your phone and record you showing them how to do it. And guess what? You never have to show someone how to do it again because they can just watch you showing them how to do it forever without you being there. So again, that's very, very easy. Whereas if you'd written that process out, this would be very difficult. Yep. And you've got to describe what things look like and it's ambiguous. People don't know. It's difficult. Right?
Yeah, the principle is record the work rather than write it out, I guess, is the key principle.
Absolutely.
And so that makes it way simpler. And it's easy to update. Then you can do it again if you need to, whatever. So that's definitely a really strong hack. I think the other thing is you might feel like you need to do all this. And this is a big problem I find that our members particularly, they think, well, I need to get all the systems sorted out before I employ anyone to do this job or before I hand it over to anyone. That's a big miss. Sometimes the best people to do this are the people who are actually doing the job all the time. Mm. So if you've got tradespeople out there, they can record, you know, some trainings for you. They can put QA's checklist together. If you've got a pricing person, they could record it. If they've got an admin person, they can do all the admin processes. Much better to do that. In fact, in our business, we have a very well systemized business, and I have built zero of those systems, mainly because I'm stupid and lazy
stupid,
as well.
Tony,
lazy
stupid.
As well. That's very true. But I've done none of the systemizing. It's a very well systemized business.
Well, actually, to be fair to you, man, when I first started,
some of them.
You did have a lot of systems. Oh. They just don't exist anymore.
All right, because
we've made them.
We've upgraded them.
But that's kind of the point.
Thanks,
right?
Bro.
But that's the point, is that as you do stuff, it changes, right? Like new technology comes in, new ways of doing things. We find a better way. We, you know, there's things that are going to change. And so what's happened is we've taken systems that you did create, which were good, and they worked then. But we do stuff a little differently now with a lot of things. And so those systems have had to be remade, and they got remade by the people that actually do these tasks now. So
I'm surprised they found a better way, though. I mean, that must have been pretty good what they found, to be fair.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hit to the ego, right?
Well, it is, it's tough.
You know, like, hey, no one uses a phone book anymore, Tony, or you know, your little system for how to use the fax machine. It's kind of irrelevant.
There's no more yellow pages out anymore.
That's right. There's no physical telephone. So anyway, here we go.
I was actually the world expert at writing Yellow Pages ads, by the way, but
that's another whole story.
That's
great. I mean, that's a really useful skill.
It is,
isn't
it? Just like the dinosaurs, it's dead.
Yeah. Tony also invented the wheel, if you're wondering, but
it's
true. Here we go.
You're right.
Anyway, point is like your systems will grow and change, and so but also you need to grow and change with the delivery method of that system. So that's why, again, like video, man, is just so much easier. And back in the day, people would have read a book, you know, they would have read a manual, because that's how you learn to do stuff. You know, people read the manual for their VCR. Firstly, VCR doesn't exist. Secondly, every manual's on a website these days with videos.
I still have a VCR at home. It's a museum piece. But I literally had a job writing writing training manuals, doing this stuff, pasting screenshots in there. It was torture. So let's not do that anymore.
Nasty, nasty. Whereas these days, you know, honestly, if something goes wrong with an appliance at my house, I don't look up the manual online, even though it exists. You know what you do? You jump on YouTube.
That's right.
And you watch people that are, you know, people make videos on how to fix or do anything. So like, 100%. Like literally, you can just jump on YouTube and I can watch someone do it. Like, why would I look up the manual and have to read through it and find the right place and then read it and try to figure out what it means when I can just watch someone do it? And it's so easily available.
In fact, maybe the problem you're having out in the field, just get your team to YouTube that. Someone else has probably done the video
They might have. You know, honestly, like if they're having a problem, just go on YouTube. If it already exists, then like if you want, you can just refilm it content.
That's right.
But this really brings it to like, well, then the next thing that's really important is they need to be able to get to the system easily, right? Like if I need to go back to the office to find a three-ring binder that's, you know, in a dusty pile of other three-ring binders and then look through it, like, man, I'm just not going to do that. So what I'll probably do instead is just call the boss and be like, I'm stuck, which is the whole thing we're trying to avoid.
Let's not do that.
What we want instead is we want this to be found easily. And so if you've got a bunch of videos or you've got some checklists, like firstly, put them online. Like your checklist can be sitting in your field software, you know, job management software, easily found attached to the job, and they have to, you know, tick it off in there. If you've got a video, again, like there are so many platforms. You could have it in Dropbox. You could have them in your job management software, potentially, depending on the software. You could have it on a YouTube channel. Like literally just make a YouTube channel for your business, put them all on there, and people are like, oh, other businesses will find my systems. And, you know, oh man, like firstly, you can make it private. Secondly is I wouldn't, because if you've got this whole systems library of like basically how to be epic at your job and it's all there public, like firstly is like if you get that found by hundreds of people, like you're a great marketer, you're in the wrong business. But secondly is if it is there, it'll be stumbled upon by who? Other tradespeople, which see you're a great systemized business, you're obviously a great place to work, you probably attract some staff. So nothing to lose, and everybody has YouTube right there in their pocket. Like don't tell me any of your tradesmen don't have a smartphone with YouTube capability. So
definitely get it online. Easy. It's and the thing about that is that it's fixable once. If you need to make a change, it's changed everywhere. If you've got it in paper, you've got to change all the versions. It's a pain in the butt. So that's super important.
Rebind it.
Yep. And then once you've done it, you test it out, get people to work through the system to make any tweaks to it. Put some KPIs around the system as well. So that's just, you know, tracking that it's been enforced properly or that it's been run properly. So, you know, that could be anything from times to get quotes done, your AR, your accounts receivable outstanding percentage, how many safety incidents there are. There's a bunch of KPIs you can use. That's a whole other thing. And you do need to refine these as you go as well. Like it is an iterative process. You'll find that things need to be updated. That's how you actually, that's the secret sauce to actually being incredibly productive and efficient and driving great margin through your productivity is continually refining your systems. And you'll find from time to time, there's a job that has a little tweak in it that you didn't think about and that you mess that up. So you add that to the system so that the next time that comes around, it's not forgotten.
Yeah,
100%. It's a process of capturing all those details, getting them into the system so that your whole workforce now has, can see that, has access to it, and therefore you're building the strength of the productivity of the business as you refine those systems. So that's massively powerful. And it is an iterative process. I know you might think that's a bit of a pain, but that's how you go from good to great, by just refining those systems, getting everything covered off eventually, because it's impossible to get it right at the start. It'll be 85%, 90% good, which is way better than it is already, but keep working on it.
Yeah, and I think last little hack is if you find that you have a system and it's not really working, like people are following it, but you're not getting a result, one thing that can be really helpful is get somebody who doesn't actually normally do that task to sit down. There's no time limit, but they have to follow that system and try to do that task. And so again, if this is something that, you know, your admin manager normally does and you find that the task is not being done well, like bring in one of the tradesmen and get them to sit at the desk and try to follow that system and see if they can do the task. And wherever they get stuck is probably where the system is broken. And just remind them, it's not about getting stuck. I'm not judging you on whether or not you're going to get this right. That's not the point. We're trying to find where this gets confusing. So the minute you're confused, hand up, tell me why. And then that's probably a hole in your system. And then if you can clarify that in the system, it all becomes clearer. So yeah, if getting someone outside of that task to try to perform that task using nothing but the system will point out exactly where it's broken, because they don't have the curse of knowledge. Like your admin manager might be sitting in front of the system. It's, you know, it actually might not be complete. It's only 80% done, but their knowledge is going to fill all the gaps and also create a lot of variability, because sometimes they fill the gap, sometimes they forget, sometimes they do it differently. So if you can fill those gaps by identifying them with someone that has no idea, then you know, you probably fix your system.
This is a very interesting point, and we find this in our business with the people we help in business and just in business in general. People learn the system, they do a good job of it, and then all of a sudden they start to think that they might know more than the system, or they try some different things to improve the system, and eventually the results don't flow. And so that's why you do need to audit people's adherence to the system, because they will drift off. Even the best people with the best will in the world, they, for some reason, think they know better. I don't get that, because I've always thought I was pretty stupid. I just follow the system. It seems to keep working. but that's quite hard for some people to do, apparently. So you do need to audit that system adherence. And again, that's when you deal with the people problem. Make sure the system is right. If you know it's right and then they start going off track, then that's when the people problem comes in, and you've got to bring them back on track.
Absolutely. Well, we've had some good stuff, so should we land this plane?
Let's do it. So if your business relies on memory, it's always bordering on chaos. Systems aren't about control. They're about freedom. Now, freedom from firefighting, freedom from being the bottleneck, and freedom to finally build a business that works for you. So get your knowledge out of your head. Get it on paper. Get it into systems and into the hands of your team. Trust me, your future self will thank you for it. Thanks, heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later. Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
If you've ever felt like giving up in your business when the stress, the overwhelm, and the frustration get too much, this episode will change the way you think. Now you walk away with a new perspective and the motivation to tackle even the biggest challenges. Now in today's episode, I interview elite athlete and cancer survivor Josh Coman, who has an incredible story of courage and survival. Now his story is about how he got through the worst situation, a cancer diagnosis. It's about grit, belief, hope, and rebuilding when everything has been stripped away from you.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.